Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant and Taqueria in Rochester, New York. Selena's is celebrating our 25th year in Rochester, and we are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our event space for private occasions, as well as our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com. SALENAS.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jazzcast Pros.
The world defines you as Jazzy T on WDKX.
Yep.
How do you define you?
Some fucking boss.
You don't meet entrepreneurs that are like, I'm just going to wait for things to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, we are the type of people that are constantly seeing something and being like, I can do that. I should fill that role. I can grab that. I can take that on. Right.
And I need to meet this need in my life, which maybe is to control my schedule a little bit better under my terms and give myself time to go on vacations and spend time with my children and husband.
Absolutely.
I want to know what you're a fucking expert at.
So we lead a lot of our bossy meetings.
Broadcast. Yeah. Broadcast, which is now leading into podcasts, and I realize that there are differences. The great thing about the internet is people get to choose what they want to listen to. Mm-hmm. Some podcasters have more reach and influence than mainstream media right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really find that podcasting is such a freeing medium. Because it's not regulated by the FCC yet.
Not yet.
Nice.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But broadcast is something I've literally been doing since I was 16 years old.
You're an expert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, it's Kelly.
And Kelly.
The host of Getting Real with Bossy.
Join us in Buffalo, New York for our Bossy Small Business Conference 2023. Focus and Fortify. October 16th through the 19th. This event is open to the public, and you can find event details on our website, bossyroc.com.
The agenda we've created will help you fine-tune your business and fortify its foundation. Devote time to magnify your business structure as we enter the fourth quarter of 2023. You will leave with tools and tips to maintain focus on what's important and a plan to start 2024 on solid ground.
Join us to focus and fortify. Buffalo, New York, October 16th through the 19th.
Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Live it, love it, lime it. With Selena's Mexican Restaurant at the Village Gate. Come for the food, stay for the fun. Become a part of Selena's family. Selena's offers daily specials, happy hour at the bar, and catering. Plus dietary menus for celiac, vegan, and vegetarian guests. When you're on the west side, grab a quick bite at the new Selena's Taqueria Grease. 745 Maiden Lane in the Tops Plaza. Find out more at selenas.com. S-A-L-E-N-A-S.
Hey ladies, do you own your own business or are you considering starting your own?
Are you craving connection and are ready to feel seen? It's time to get real about what it takes to make it as a woman business owner.
My name is Kelly Bush.
And I'm Kelly Metris.
And we're the hosts of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that unites and educates women business owners through real, raw, and honest conversations.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited.
I am too. I know we talk about it a lot, about how we always thought we could do this on our own, but having Jazzy has been a godsend.
Oh, my gosh. And I remember when she came actually to this basement.
Mm-hmm.
And came to meet us about seeing what we wanted and if she wanted to do it. And I'm like, who is she? Why is she so familiar? Like,
right.
I could not place it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, you're on DK.
You're Jazzy from the radio.
I listen to you all the time.
It's so weird to see a radio personality in person.
I know. And I think she's had TV experience before, so I'm interested to see what her story is and all of that.
Over the year plus that we've known her, like every time she talks, we learn like a little
tip. Yeah, she's like dropping breadcrumbs for us. And we're like, oh, a little bit more about Jazzy and her path. Yeah. I love it.
That's so great. Welcome to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. Today we're interviewing Jazzy T from Jazzcast Pros.
Our fantastic producer.
We're good. I'm just going to ask questions and then you can cut it because you're a producer.
Right.
Okay. So what is the name you want to go by?
Yeah, Jazzy T.
Jazzy T. So you don't want to go by your birth name?
No. Do y'all even know my birth name?
I don't
know. Oh, it was on the contract, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then your business name?
Jazzcast Pros.
All right. And is there anything you do not want to talk about today?
No.
Okay. And if at any given point in time you think this is the normal spiel we give, that you want something cut as you say it, you can just be like, hey, Jazzy, cut this is the spiel we give everybody. And if you afterwards are like, hey, I wish I hadn't talked about that, I don't want that shared, let us know and we will tell Jazzy.
And you can totally leave this in if you want, because I think this is hysterical. So I'm going to let you make that decision. Because that's the one thing I love about us is that we are raw and uncut sometimes.
Yes, right?
When we first thought about doing this, we really thought this was something that we could pull off on our own. And
they all do.
So we're not alone. And just the channel, you know, at first I was like, I don't want somebody telling me what to do. Like, we've been doing this. And that's kind of the tough thing. We've been running this business for 8 years by the time we started this. And now somebody's going to come in and tell us what we're doing maybe wrong and we were not feeling it. And you just made the whole process so seamless and challenged us. And we're
trying
just
not to be
really
too bossy.
You guys
are bossy enough on your own.
Well, it was a wonderful experience. And I hope anyone who's listening that is considering doing a podcast will reach out to you because you made it very, very easy. And you just make us sound fantastic.
And you still push us. Like, you're asking us questions every month and pushing us to do better. And by the end of season two, we're going to be perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Season three, I don't even think we'll need editing.
I think that's the point, Kelly, is that Jazzy would like to get to a point where we are seamless enough that she doesn't have to spend so much time editing our nonsense.
And I think this setup is going to help a lot with the technical edit that I spend most of the time on.
Right.
Just getting rid of background noise and just, you know, echo in all that other stuff. So.
And you see we have some soundproofing now in the room.
Nice. So. Yes, looks great.
Yeah, and maybe after our time in Colorado, we'll have actual cameras that will link up and then you can all see our beautiful faces. Mm-hmm. But today it's just our voices.
Just our voices.
So, Jazzy, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're from Michigan.
I am from Michigan. You got that right.
And how did you get to Rochester?
So how I got from Michigan to Rochester is by way of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So I was in Detroit working at my childhood station where, you know, you have your favorite station you listen to. And there was an opportunity while I was living in L.A. So I don't know how far are we going to go back.
As far back as you want. It's your show.
So born in Dallas, Texas, moved to Detroit Metro when I was like 6 months old. That's where my mom is from. Went to Michigan State University, graduated in the winter. By January of 2005, I was living and working in L.A. because Tupac said to live and die in L.A. That's the place to be.
So, oh my God, that's amazing. Is that like legitimately, like you were like, I'm going to go live in L.A.?
Yeah.
Tupac said, I love it. Oh my God.
Tupac said California love and all that. And I'm a diehard Tupac fan. Our birthdays are 2 days apart. So I love Tupac. Anyway, so I went out to L.A. I ended up getting a job with Craig Murray Productions, who's also a Michigan State alumni. And he ran a post-production house. Our big contracts were like Disney, 20th Century Fox, stuff like that. So we would, it's a post-production house, so it's editing. So we did like Chicken Little and Cars, and The Incredibles was just on its way out when I started. So Incredibles was on its way out. Cars and Chicken Little was the big thing. So I was there for the entire Chicken Little campaign. Unfortunately, I was still blinded by the Hollywood lights, And I would go on my lunch breaks for auditions for like BET host, and just like AMC had like some hosting opportunities. So I would always go on these auditions on my lunch break in LA traffic. I would always end up coming back late.
Right. Yeah.
That's just what happened. Yeah. And so I didn't have my head screwed on right. Like if I would have stayed that path, I would have been, you know, making so much more money being a Hollywood editor. But I might not be an entrepreneur, so right. You know, I guess we could circle back on that. So I ended up getting fired, and I didn't end up landing any of those hosting jobs. And you got to remember, this is the time where Ryan Seacrest is picking up the American Idol. This is 05, so he's picking up stuff, and then Mario Lopez is picking up pretty much everything else. I did have an audition for Deal or No Deal to be a briefcase opener lady.
All right.
But this was when they did first came out. I didn't understand the concept that, so when I opened up a case that said $1 million, I was happy. I was, oh, this is great. They're like, no, that's a bad thing. Right. So I didn't get that one either. So I was like, yay.
Anyone out there that can get us the rough cut of Chazzy's Deal or No Deal audition.
But I did a lot of background work. So just staying in LA for a minute, I did a lot of background work, which is being an extra. I got really, really good at being an extra and getting booked and stuff like that.
So what made you stop your Tupac LA dreams?
Okay, so it's very expensive in LA. Mm. You have to have a roommate. So I was getting my roommates off of Craigslist. At the time, it was still safe.
Right.
And then a friend of a friend was coming from Detroit, and he was an editor as well, and he was going to school out there. So like, okay, we're going to get a place in Koreatown. And as the year was wrapping up, I was at a conference in Phoenix. He called. I remember he called and he said, hey, so how's everything going? Da, da, da. I'm like, oh, it's going great. He said, oh, when are you going to be back? I was like, I'll probably be back on Monday. He was like, okay, cool. And that was it. I come back. He moves out.
Oh, wow.
He's gone. And it wasn't a romantic thing or anything, but he is gone. So he had brought most of the furniture and all that. Because I moved on the plane with two suitcases. He moved in a truck. Okay. So he had the furniture and the dishes and, like, the TV and, like, all of the stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he is gone. And I was like, you know, Dell, like, what the fuck? Like, right. Where are you? He's like, oh, you know, I just wanted to get my own place. I'm like, that's how you move out? So I'm scrambling. I'm trying to get another roommate. And I couldn't make the rent. So I called my mom. I was like, I got to come home. I got to come home because I don't know what else to do, and there wasn't really a lot shaking.
Mm-hmm. Tupac would have agreed with that call your mom.
Yes, dear mama, I'm coming home.
Yeah. So really, you're still following the Tupac dream.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Tupac is actually born on the East Coast too. He was born in New York, and he went to school in Maryland too. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, him and Jada Pinkett Smith went to the School of the Arts in Baltimore.
No way.
Yeah, you didn't know that part of the story.
No.
Yeah, watch any Tupac movie. They always talk about that part because they always like to bring up the footage of him doing ballet and Shakespeare and all this stuff.
Oh my God. That's for him and Jada. I got to watch some documentaries.
Yeah. He's a very complicated guy. I love him. So I call, one of my friends was doing the Quiet Storm in Detroit, and she was like, well, I'm getting ready to leave, so you should send your tape. I had already done radio while I was at Michigan State. So while I was a student, I was on the hip hop station, not the college station, but the actual hip hop station in Lansing, Michigan. And so I had that experience, and I was able to come home and get on the radio. I did FM 98 WJLB. I did the weekends. So the PD there was like, well, you're full-time talent. I just don't have anywhere for you right now. And I'm working with people that I admired forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bushman in the afternoons, Coco and Foolish in the morning, and Frankie Darcel was on the sister station. So in iHeart, there's like the R&B contemporary station, mm-hmm. and then there's like the hip hop station. We're all under one roof. So Frankie Darcel worked for the R&B, like kind of older station. And Frankie Darcel is like a legend. Like she got syndicated. She is like the person you want to be like. And so whenever she would go on vacation, she would have people that were like, I don't know if you know any of our Detroit R&B artists, but like Kim or Dwelle or people from Slum Village. So like Detroit artists mainly that would come and be like the guest MC while she was gone. So that was a very sacred space. Mm-hmm. And then she allowed me to sit in for, I was the only other DJ that was ever allowed to sit in her chair, which is humongous.
You had to feel so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to fill that space was just amazing. And so I was doing my show one day and the program director from Buffalo was listening online and we had the text like five numbers and then you can like communicate with the radio stations and stuff now. So I happened to be looking at the text. This was all new. Like now it's like, you know, everybody knows how to do that stuff, but I was looking at it and he was, I was listening to you. I'm in Buffalo, New York. Would love for you to come interview. And so he like hit me up while I'm working at somewhere else and was like, hey, I want to take you.
Through the text line for that station?
Yes.
If you've been thinking about starting a podcast and you want to include interviews with people across town, Riverside.fm offers unbelievable high quality recordings regardless of your or your guest internet quality. And it also gives you separate audio and video tracks for each person speaking. And unlike Zoom, you don't have to install anything on your computer, and your guests don't either. Head over to riverside.fm and use promo code JazzyCast to get 60 free minutes of recording and 15% off a membership plan.
Very bold.
I love it. I was going to say a little shady, but yeah, very bold.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, yeah, I'm in New York, Western New York. So to me, Western New York is like, I don't know, west of Manhattan.
Right. So Westchester.
Westchester.
You're like, oh, I can hop the train to New York City on my off time.
Exactly. Oh. I didn't know.
Yeah, you're going to go audition in New York on my lunch break.
Right.
No.
So I flew, what is it, like an hour and a half to Buffalo. I was like, what is this?
Buffalo.
I'm like, okay. All right, cool. So I ended up getting on the radio at WBLK. Did that for 3 years. There's a lot in that. But I don't even know.
I love anybody that says there's a lot in that and then moves forward. And I'm like, can we go off the record for like, I want to know more. No, but seriously.
The summer of 2015, or no, the spring of 2015, I got an inbox from a casting director that says, hey, we're doing a show, America's Next Weatherman, and Funny or Die is producing it. And we would love for you to audition. And I was like, well, I'm not a weatherman. They're like, yeah, but you're on the radio, so you must report weather, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. I do time and temp. Like,
right, right.
And they're like, yeah, well, just send in a tape. So I sent in a tape, you know, and I just, my whole thing was like hype turn up weather. So I was like, if I'm going to go in here, I'm going to just be Jazzy T turn up weather person. So I'm like, I can't be the stuffy, you know, meteorologist because I'm not that. I don't know much about it.
I mean, I honestly wish people could see you talking right now because it's just so you're animated. In it. Like, yeah. Like, I could totally see you being a turn up weather lady. Like,
yeah,
it'd be amazing.
I'll have to show you my audition footage.
Broadcasting live Buffalo, New York. It's Grammy night. Obviously, we are not in LA. It is cold up in the 16 degrees, looking for a low of 4 degrees, wind chill 10 to 20 miles per hour. It's pretty much going to be the same forecast from about a week ago. I'm your girl Jazzy T with the turn up the temp weather forecast, but it's so cold I'm going back in the studio. Holla.
Well, yeah, because they reached out to you. They didn't want you to be stuffy weatherman. Yeah.
That's what they were saying. So I ended up finding out that they brought 24 of us to L.A. There's 12 slots. And it was so funny because we're in the elevator. Like, you have to go in your room and stay there. You're not, like, really supposed to, like, interact. But while I'm in the elevator, I'm noticing, like, the other version of me stepping off the elevator. And then I'm stepping in. So they have, like, two black girls, two black guys, two like model swimsuit looking blondes. So they had like two of each of us. So they knew the typecast that they wanted. It was just down to
which one
who was going to sound the best, right? Or who looked the best. I'm saying sound because I'm like, I'm wondering, is my sound really good? How does my sound sound actually?
I think you sound fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not the producer.
Yeah.
Okay. I can just hear you clear.
Sure. Okay. I'm just making sure. So I got out there, I ended up landing the audition, and I got to be on the show. So it was America's Next Weatherman. It was on TBS. It came out in August. We filmed it in March. In June, I got fired. And the thing was, the PD was afraid that I was going to get too big. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, the whole saying is, no talent is bigger than the station.
Right.
And it was so messed up because, like, even when I was doing the auditions, like, I had asked him to fill out these waivers that say we can use, like, the studio and whoever might be coming in. And he refused to sign anything. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is nationwide exposure for your little station in Buffalo.
Right.
Like, what is wrong with you? So they didn't allow me to do any of that. But what was cool about that, when I got to L.A. And I made it on the show, they actually let me recreate a radio station. And you'll never guess where. You'll never guess where. So I just have to tell you. In Jim Hansen's studio.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Kermit the Frog.
When you're saying never guess where, like, I'm trying to think of the most random place I could think of, and no, you still baffled me.
Yeah. So I got to go to Jim Hansen's studio where they make, you know, Muppet movies and all of that. So they had, like, you know, like one of these audio interfaces, but it was like the whole thing. It was like, I felt like I was in Dr. Dre's studio.
Right.
Because that's what it was like. Mm-hmm. But they carved it out so it looked more like a radio board, and I had to, like, do stuff or whatever. So that's where, when they did my backstory, because everybody else's backstory was back at home, but my backstory was in the Jim Hansen studio, just looking like I was on the radio. So that was cool.
Oh my God.
So cool.
It's fantastic.
So anyway, he ended up letting me go, but he had this other girl, and you'll never guess what her name is. It's so fucked up. Yasmin.
No.
Yes. Her name is Yasmin. So before I was literally even out the door, he had already promised my spot to somebody else. I ended up finding out just a few months ago by somebody who works with him now in Dallas that he admitted that letting me go and bringing her in was the biggest mistake of his career.
That's some vindication.
Oh, that was...
Yeah.
I was waiting to hear those words.
Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I know.
Because right. so much happened to that station after that. Because you got to understand, like, it's Town Square Media. They own YRK, which is a country station. At the time, it was Joy FM, which is kind of like a light rock, listen at work station. The hip hop station in I think it was like a Jack FM type of rock situation. And BLK had never been number one in the afternoons until I came.
Wow.
And they literally had meetings, because people that worked on the sales side would tell me, they would have meetings that said, how the hell did this happen? How did BOK get number one? YRK is supposed to be number one. We have to fix this.
Ah.
I'm like, we're all supposed to be one happy family.
Right.
As long as Town Square is winning, we're winning, right?
No, nope. That's not it at all.
No. We need YRK. So
now I'm wondering if I ever heard you, because I used to go to Buffalo a lot and I always listened to BLK when I was there.
Yeah. I mean, and we revolutionized so much. Like at 5 o'clock, they didn't have a mix show. And like being from Detroit, like when you're in traffic, you're supposed to listen to mixes. And so I brought that there, just like I brought that here to Rochester. They weren't mixing. I remember when I first started at WDKX, that's where I work now, by the way,
spoiler.
Guys. Hey guys, I'm the WDKX. But when I started working here, like I remember it was like Luther Vandross or something at 5 o'clock when I was in the car. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm like, nobody wants to hear slow stuff when they're stuck in traffic having road rage. So we brought the mix show there. So it was just so many things that we did in the afternoon to bring it up to number one. And they just didn't like that. So between that and me being on TV, they just couldn't handle it. And so I got let go. I ended up getting invited. Well, first of all, Todd, who worked with me at WBOK, he's from Rochester, so he knows Andre at DKX. And he was like, told Andre, he's like, I can't believe what they did to her in Buffalo. Like, you need to give her a slap. Like, just make some room and get her in there. So what ended up happening is Atu is the program director here in Rochester and also the afternoon guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what they ended up doing is just splitting it up. So I get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and he's on Monday and Tuesday. So they literally carved out space for me. Because he's like, well, I'm not going to, you know, fire out two or get rid out two, but we need you on. And so that's why I work 3 days a week.
Okay.
Which works out pretty good for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got 4 days to do.
So how long have
else.
You been? So spoiler, Jazzy, if you recognize the voice and you're in Rochester, it's from DKX.
Right.
I remember when you came to talk to us about being our podcast producer, we did not realize.
Yeah.
And I'm like listening to you talk and I was just like, and then you finally said it and I was like, thank you. Right. I was like, that's why your voice is so familiar.
Yeah. So It's interesting. I wanted to go back to the interview with Iris Zimmerman, and she said, how do people perceive you, mm-hmm. and then how do you perceive yourself? Right. So that has been the struggle for the, like, because I've been in radio for 23 years, and I don't want to be known as the girl on the radio,
sure.
all the time, because I can do so many other things, and I have done so many other things. But that's a very hard thing to shake. And so for the last really like 4 years, I've been trying to move away from that. Like I was ready to leave mm-hmm. so many times, and I had different things pop up and different opportunities pop up. But then I end up staying in radio because of one thing or another. But now I've been able to figure out how to produce podcasts and still be on the radio at the same time.
How long have you been at DKX?
Since 2015. So, oh my God, almost. Yeah, it'll be 8 years next month.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are still at DKX, but you're doing other things. So how right. did you decide to go from being on the mic to being a producer for podcasts?
Yeah. Before the pandemic hit, I started interviewing for producer jobs. And I actually got one at CGI, which is... like they're very big on promoting cities for like events and stuff like that. Like CGI there is now this big sponsor of the Jazz Festival.
I was going to say yeah. the only thing I know about them yeah. is from the Jazz Fest.
Yeah, yeah. So like for instance, like the job would entail, for instance, Des Moines, Iowa would hire CGI to promote it for tourism. So as the producer in Rochester, like I would have to find a local camera person and find like some interesting places for them to go and shoot, and then they would send the footage back, and then I would create like a script and a storyboard, and then the editors at CGI would put it together, and then like the city council of Des Moines, Iowa, whatever, would use that on their website. So that's essentially what it okay. was, like a city showcase type of producer. And so I got the offer 2 days before the world shut down.
Oh, I still have a little PTSD from that.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So then they... you know, weren't, there was no tourism.
Right.
There was yeah. nothing to promote. There was, so they weren't hiring, and then everybody went remote, and then they stayed remote for a long time. I followed up with them once, and they're like, well, you know, right now we're just not really hiring, and you know, blah, right. blah, 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 blah. So I'm just like, okay, great. So a friend of mine who's in the beauty industry, Felicia, she has an eyelash parlor, and she also has a salon mm-hmm. in the Grease Ridge Mall. And people are always coming to her asking for business advice. And she's like, I just don't have time to sit down with everybody and take every call and take every meeting. She was like, I think I just want to do a podcast where I can record it, you know, just record the stuff, and then they can just go listen to it. Because I right. want to help people, but I just don't have time to meet with everybody. She's like, and I know you can do it. She's like, you've been in radio for so long. I know you can do it. So it was just the confidence that she had in me. And I was like, I don't even listen to podcasts.
Right.
Like, I'm just being totally transparent. Mm-hmm. I didn't even listen to podcasts at the time. So I was like, okay, let's dive in. So I went through the school of YouTube and, you know, started listening to podcasts, started signing up for stuff, and learned everything I could about, you know, what a great podcast is. And that journey of learning does not stop. We're in woo-hoo! Denver because this is August. And we are learning even more at the Podcast Movement Conference. And it's just such a mind-blowing thought that 2001, I'm like, I don't even know where or what a podcast is, to now producing and editing 8 original shows and having 17 total shows on the Jazzcast Pros Podcast Network.
Amazing.
That is so cool.
So, and that's in 2 years. And well, you guys are happy anniversary because now Bossy you. Is a year in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Girl, where have you been? I haven't seen you at work in a while.
Girl, I quit and started my own business.
Really? That's amazing. How did you do it?
Well, I've been listening to this Beauty Boss Millionaire podcast, and it really helped me change my mindset from an employee to a CEO.
All that from a podcast?
Yes, the Beauty Boss Millionaire walks you through the process of starting a business and making your first million.
I need that in my life. I need someone to help me.
Just go to beautybossmillionaire.com or pull it up on your favorite podcast app. It's time to boss up.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bush, and I own Marshall Street Bar and Grill. Whether you're out celebrating with friends or looking for a catered event, Marshall Street is your number one choice. With board games, pool, darts, pinball, and 3 large screen projectors, you'll never run out of things to do. Check out our huge menu with over 60 items, including vegan and vegetarian food, 18 taps, unique spirits, and great daily specials. We've got something for everyone. Come see old friends or make new ones at Marshall Street Bar and Grill. You always have a home at Marshall Street.
So I love that this is really something you taught yourself how to do, because anything internet-based, as you know, is constantly changing. So I feel like people that maybe go to school for something like this have their way that they learned and they kind of get stuck in that. But since you had to go to the school of YouTube, which many of us do for many things, we did to figure out how to use our equipment today. but you're used to that, you know, that change, and being fluid with that and knowing that you have to kind of keep checking things. I think that's so important that you've come to this on your own and really you're teaching yourself. It's incredible.
Well, having the background of editing, even in college, like when you get together for school projects, because I did telecommunication media arts, digital media arts at Michigan State. And so you would have the naturally, you know, photographer, the natural writer or whatever. And I ended up being the natural editor, even from school, then working in LA, editing clips for Disney and stuff. So post-production is actually my favorite part of the process. One thing I left out about in LA after I got fired, I did a lot of extra work, but then the extra work built up to being a production assistant, which ended up giving me experience working with the actors. So like when the extras would come in, like the production assistant has to check them in. So I learned that whole thing. And then when I came back to Michigan, in addition to being on the radio, my husband and I started our very first business, which is called JR Galactic Casting. So I'm the J, he's the R, and Galactic because galaxy. I don't know. You know.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, it was like expand your universe with JR Galactic. So the whole idea there.
Oh, I love that tagline.
Thank you. The whole idea behind that was giving people in Michigan a sense of what it's like to work in Hollywood. Because what happened was at the time, Michigan had the highest film incentive, tax incentive in the nation for films. So it was 42%. So basically that means like if you have $1 million budget, the state of Michigan is going to give you back $420,000.
Nice.
Wow. Right. Just for filming there. But the problem was like the actors really weren't acting on that level. The Hollywood producers would come in expecting Hollywood type level stuff. So we had to we created a workshop called the Be in a Movie Workshop, where I would literally teach regular people how to be an extra, like a good extra, not the extra that looks in the camera.
Right.
Like when we tell you to pass by, you just pass by. You don't look it. You know, you don't show up in, you know, crazy stripes. You don't wear logos, like just all that type of stuff. But we ended up being really a go-to resource for productions that would come in. And, you know, we did, it was a movie called Touchback with Kurt Russell. It's kind of like a B-side movie, but it was still really cool. And it was a football movie about high school football. And Barry Sanders was the other coach. So Kurt Russell and then Barry Sanders. Nice. So that, and, you know, Barry Sanders is a Michigan hero as well. So I had that experience of production all the way around.
Right.
So that's always something that I knew I wanted to be in. And then just through my radio career, always producing imaging and commercials, voicing commercials, editing the commercials. So I really love that. And I kind of felt like now that I'm over the hill.
Barely.
You know, I just.
There is barely. No hill anymore. So people are living to be like 120.
Oh, so not quite there yet.
Yeah, so the hill now is like 65.
Oh, okay. But when I ended up getting, we didn't even talk about the fact that I was on Channel 10.
You have done so much.
So I was the traffic lady.
You
can
be
our next
2-part.
Yes. So I worked on Channel 10 from 2016 to 2019, got out right before the pandemic, which was a godsend because Lord knows I would go crazy if I had to talk about coronavirus all day long.
Oh, my God.
Because remember the news, every single story was about.
And I like the traffic's non-existent today. Coronavirus.
Well, yeah, that too. My job would have been out anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So I was the first and only on-camera traffic reporter in Rochester. I think it's important to realize that people don't, you know, there has been traffic voiceover people, but there has never been a traffic person that stands there and points at the map. So I had to create that.
I didn't know that.
I had to create everything. I had to figure out like the workflow, you know, how to do the maps, how to find, you know, the DOT cameras and connect that to the television broadcast and all of that
stuff. They didn't do that for you? You had to do it yourself?
No. And
I love any, you like these big corporations. You're like, it's like Channel 10, W, whatever, HEC. Mm-hmm. Like they have all these people. And you're like, no, I had to actually create the entire system.
Yeah. And mind you, like I had never been on the TV in that way. I never had done live TV.
I was going to say, it's live. Yeah.
It's live. So you have to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm living in Buffalo, right? And I got hired in October. So snow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? My child, Cora, was 8 months. So it's not like I'm sleeping a regular schedule at all. Get up at 1:30 in the morning, drive an hour and a half to downtown Rochester. And then you know, you have to do all your stuff to get ready. And then 4:50. So I was the web producer as well. Okay.
Of course I was.
So this, when I tell you, this was some shit. So I was,
women can do some shit. Thank you, Iris.
Thank you. Yes, I want that shirt.
From anywhere.
I just designed it this morning. So yep. From anywhere, at any time.
Oh my God, yes. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing too. So since this was a brand new position, it was only part-time.
What?
This was a part-time position.
That you're doing all of this work
I'm doing all of this work for, right? And then even, so part of being on the air, you have to join SAG, which is Screen Actors Guild. And so when the SAG rep would come, he was like, I have never heard of a situation where an on-air talent was part-time. He was like, I've never heard of that before. And then I would look at my, you know, full-time friends who were reporters, and the morning reporters, you know, those are the people who will cut in for like, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. You guys have done plenty of news. They do their 2-3 minute segments. Mm-hmm. That runs a couple of times. And then they spend the rest of their day getting ready for the next thing, right? But they get to be full-time. Me, I'm coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm responsible for anything that happened overnight or, you know, that we're getting ready to talk about in the morning to help the other producers to, you know, write the scripts and all that, but then get that story onto the website. So there's a lot involved with that as far as like cutting the audio that goes on the air. So our show would start at 4:30. So as soon as they would start doing their block, you know, 4:30 to about 4:50, I was, you know, cutting, writing the web story, getting that up. Mind you, my first hit was at 4:50. So I'm frantically trying to do my hair and my makeup.
I was going
to
say, did you have somebody that did your hair and makeup at least? No. That was my next question.
We do our own hair and makeup.
Okay.
For a time, we did have wardrobe. It was Lord & Taylor actually had a deal with Channel 10 for a little while. So that was cool. They would have some things laid out for us and jewelry and all that. You wear it once and then you bring it back and you get some other stuff. So that was amazing. But no, you did your own hair and makeup. So I'm frantically doing that. And so then I have to go out and actually have to present the traffic. And then in the meantime, if there was breaking news that needs to go, like, you know, have you ever gotten like a text message from like WHEC or any of those? So, yeah, I've sent those out. Breaking news in between the traffic. You know, okay, yeah, breaking news. The crawl. So when you're watching the little stories go, like I would do the crawl.
And you were part-time doing all
that. And I was part-time. So
you were, I'm not saying you were doing more work than full-time people, but you were doing more work than full-time people.
Say it.
Why were you not full-time?
So that was the thing. So the end of my contract, you know, that was my thing. I'm like, well, I need to be full-time now.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this is a part-time position. If you want to be part-time.
You don't need to be full-time. You are already working full-time. You need to be compensated for your full-time work.
Exactly. So, but
we're steamed for you in 2015 or whatever year we're talking now.
Yeah, this is 2016. Yeah, so my shift was 3 to 9. I couldn't work more than, you know, it was sometimes 9:30. So, but there's like, so that means there's no time to prep for next week. Like, so for instance, like when you say, oh, how do you prep for traffic? Well, you know, there's construction, there's parades, you know, there's like just other reasons that certain streets shut down and all of that, that you can like prep for in advance. And I just told them, I was like, well, if I had some time to prep for the next day, or I could just, you know, get some extra web stories up or whatever. I was like, by the time I take a lunch, I was like, then boom, I'm at 8 hours. Right. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
Right. But they didn't want to do it. They just said, well, if you want to do full-time, you can apply to be a full-time web producer. But I would have to go through the complete application process and interview process. And
for the job you're already doing.
For the job I'm already doing.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So I just was
and
like,
you were doing
no,
this and
interested.
Doing DKX at the same time.
So I was working 7 days a week for 2 years.
With a kid at home?
When you have a young child.
A young child.
And mm-hmm. both of your jobs were in a different city than you were living in.
Well, I ended up moving to Rochester in March of 2017 after I got into an accident. So I was going up the thruway at 2:30 in the morning with the snow, spun out right around Leroy, hit the side rail, and then went into the ditch.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You became your own traffic incident.
I was the traffic incident.
Like, sorry, the traffic's bad today. It's my fault.
It's me.
Well, the snow's fault, but my car.
Yeah, and since there was so much going on, you know, within the city, it took them about an hour and a half, 2 hours for the tow truck to even get out to Leroy where I was at.
Right.
And then, so it was funny when the sheriff finally came or whatever, they were like, hey, aren't you supposed to be doing traffic, not being in the traffic? Like you said, everybody's favorite joke. Mm-hmm. But it was so scary because at this point, you know, it's cold. I'm running out of gas, of course. You know, I remember a fox, like, tiptoeing around the car, looking in, seeing if there was some warm bodies in there. So that was terrifying.
Yeah.
But finally they pulled me out. But at that point I was like, okay, I'm just going to go home. So I'm still shaking, you know, and it's still snowy. And so what I realized is they do not plow 490 before 530.
Really?
Not at all.
Oh,
not at all. They do not plow 490 mm-hmm. before 530 in the morning. Yeah. So I just, and luckily there was no one else on the road because I started in the fast lane and I spun to the middle lane, spun to the slow lane, and then ended up in the ditch.
Oh, that's terrifying.
So thank God there was nobody else on the road.
Right.
Because who knows? And it's pitch dark. So that was scary. So I was like, no, we're moving. So yeah, at this point now I'm living in Brighton. I'm doing Monday through Friday in the morning on the news. And then at that particular moment, I was doing Saturdays and Sundays on WDKX.
Okay.
So I remember I used to document this on my Instagram at Jazzy T on Air. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, this is day 217 of working nonstop. So forget vacation, because remember, I'm not full-time either
place.
Right.
So there's no vacation. I'm definitely working every holiday, because that's just how the media entertainment industry is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to keep on working. And then finally, the boss at WDKX was like, you know what? We need to give you some days off. So that's when he ended up moving me to doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then having Saturdays and Sundays off. So I finally...
Right.
Had some days off.
So you had to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, of course. I needed more stuff to do.
If you're enjoying this episode, check out High Vibe Table Talks, where we start to remove mental barriers and take action now so you can achieve your someday desires. I'm your host, Mershawn Hargrave, and if you've ever heard that little voice inside to go after something, but the fear around the unknown felt too big, this is the podcast for you. Listen and subscribe to High Vibe Table Talks on the Jazzcast Pros Network with the podcast listener you're using right now, because it is high time you activated your high vibes.
If you've been thinking about starting a podcast and you want to include interviews with people across town, Riverside.fm offers unbelievable high-quality recordings regardless of your or your guest internet quality. And it also gives you separate audio and video tracks for each person speaking. It's high tech, but easy to use. And unlike Zoom, you don't have to install anything on your computer, and your guests don't either. Riverside.fm is the leading platform to record studio quality audio or video podcast. They even have a really cool video editor to help you make content for social media. Head over to riverside.fm and use promo code JazzyCast to get 60 free minutes of recording and 15% off a membership plan. The link is in the show notes.
Okay, so now you have 17 podcasts on your network. What's your goal?
The goal is to present JazzCast Pros as the ultimate resource of content for and by women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And there are so many opportunities in the ways of licensing mm-hmm. and the ways of brand partnerships and sponsorships. Just the whole advertising avenue of having a network, you know, just like a Channel 10 or a DKX, you know, they're supported by advertising. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the next big goal is just hiring like a real sales force, right. you know, and all of that type of stuff so that we can do all of the things. You know, right now I'm still a one woman band, but I do have virtual assistants. So I have three virtual assistants that are starting to help out with stuff like, you know, email funnels and, you know, all that yeah. type of stuff. Because I, one thing you have to, like, do what you like to do. That's probably my biggest, do what you like to do and have somebody else do the other shit.
Yeah.
For real. Because, like, for me, email marketing was just, like, such a mind boggle. I'm like, I don't get it. A funnel, like... I don't understand CMS or so whatever that thing is called.
Yep.
I don't get it. And I don't want to spend time getting that. Mm-mm. So when my friend asked me to do her first podcast, I wanted to learn about that. I was interested in that. And I had time because it was
well, pandemic. And you want to know what you're hiring for, right? Like, I want to know all of the things that need to be done. And then I decide if I can do it or not. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, now I know what it entails. I don't want to do this. Who else can do it?
Right.
Just, yeah. You got to find out what it is that you do like to do about it because it is right. new to you. So.
Yeah. But for me, just very similar to casting, because I did mention I worked in casting in LA and then I ended up having the actual casting company in Michigan, and just the impact that that has on other people. Like, hey, I get to put you in a movie. This is an once in a lifetime experience. Maybe not once a lifetime, but this is your first experience that you're going to remember forever, whether you do it or not. Again or not. And to this day, people are still reaching out to me like, thank you so much for getting me started. I moved to LA. I moved to Chicago. You know, I went to acting school, like, and I'm doing the thing now.
Right.
But if we would have never gave them that opportunity. So what I feel like now is, and back to the part about being over the hill and getting off Channel 10, I was like, you know what? I'm done with TV. I did it for 3 years. I always tell people I did 3 years like a jail bid or something. Like, I did my time. Did my time over there. But what really gives me the joy is to find people like you that have a message to share and maybe don't want to figure out the tech stuff
right.
and give you that platform to have your voice heard. And then you give that platform to other people when you're interviewing your guest. It's very, very satisfying work for me. I mean, everyone always asks me, like, when are you going to start a podcast? I'm like, I have eight.
That was like, one of my questions.
I don't need to start a podcast. I've talked so much on the radio.
Right.
I don't really.
Well, want and you still to. Do, right?
And I still do.
Maybe if you weren't on the radio, you'd feel different yeah, down the yeah. road. But you still are having your voice heard.
Yeah, and that's an option. You know, that's totally an option. If I ever wanted to, you know, have a podcast, I can do that at any time. But I really just want to like fade to the back, not have to worry about if my opinions are PC and just all of the stuff that comes with being in media.
Mm-hmm.
I really find that podcasting is such a freeing medium because it's not regulated by the FCC yet.
Not yet.
No.
Yet. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we don't have to buy into gossip and, you know, what they say, if it bleeds, it leads, and just all of that negativity that I got to see firsthand working in news. It literally is it bleeds, it leads. We could be having a great story about somebody who's doing amazing, positive things, but let someone get shot, out with the positive, right. mm-hmm. in with the shooting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why does it have to be
every
like
every day?
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does it have to be like that?
And there's so many amazing things happening in the city that nobody knows about.
Right. And those things will only get aired if there's nothing bad
right.
to talk about. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like we always were finding something. Even if it's like, oh my gosh, eggs are $7. Like, that's the lead now.
Right.
Instead of talking about, oh, well, you know, this person who has a chicken farm is actually, you know, giving out eggs. We're not going to talk about that right. part. We're going to talk about how expensive it is and how terrible it's going to be for you and your family. And
yep.
like, why? So I think, you know, my mission is to change some of that. And the great thing about the internet is people get to choose what they want to listen to. Mm-hmm. Some podcasters have more reach and influence than mainstream media right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is an amazing space to be in. And now that we're in Denver, I want us to be able to connect with those bigger players that can take our messages even further. And podcasts can develop into like Netflix series.
Okay.
You know?
That's when we have Ryan Reynolds come on.
Right? Right? And all your Olympic friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So do you think podcasts are going to continue growing the way they're growing? I think there's so many more opportunities now, and I'd love to see it continue.
Yeah. So it totally had a bubble in 2021 because there was...
We didn't have anything else to do.
Nobody had anything else to do.
And nobody wanted to watch Who Got Shot today. So right. They're like, what else can I do? Let's listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Right. But there's still a nice trajectory of new podcast listeners coming in, people who are learning about it and you know, really getting into it. So it's slowed. The growth did slow, but just like anything, you know, that took off in the pandemic is starting to like level back out. So I just say, just stay consistent and keep doing your thing, continuing to do it, because so many, let's just say 4 million podcasts that were created. But when you look at what's active, you know, you're closer to 1 million.
Okay.
And when I say active, like that's more than usually 8 episodes. Most people who are going to quit after the 8th episode. Yeah.
Well, I've noticed that because when we were doing research, just even just for names, or are there people doing what we're doing? Should we be looking at them? Should we try to not do what they're doing? We did definitely find that there were several that were just like 5 to maybe 8 episodes, and that was it. So.
Yeah, and they peter out. So, you know, consistency is definitely the name of the game. And I personally have my sights on Spotify, if you're listening.
Hello, Spotify.
Hello there. I know you've recently had a black woman who only had 2 people on their network and let her go. Guess what? I got 17.
What? 17.
So.
Maybe we'll see them here. Right? Maybe they're here in Denver, Colorado, yeah. And we can...
Not Denver. Is it Denver?
Aurora.
Right. Like, but I just keep saying Denver because it's easier.
That's what the branding
well, that's
says.
That's what it says, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I just realized last night we're not actually in Denver. Right. We're in Aurora.
Right.
I guess that's just like saying, oh, we're in Rochester, but we're actually in Irondequoit.
Right. So, I guess.
Yeah. It's probably similar.
So I have a question. I know as an entrepreneur, we just kind of touched on this. The gut is to always say yes and to like keep going. And every opportunity that comes up and you have that mindset, you can tell from your story. And I know you left a lot out in that story. Do you have a hard time deciding when to say no?
You know, there's been 3 opportunities this week to say no. And what I find for me, it's usually a slower no and a quicker yes. So if I'm totally into it, it's like, yes, absolutely, let's go. I'm going to send you the document in 5 minutes. You
okay.
know? But like, for instance, there was an opportunity to do an audiobook. There's an opportunity to work with a radio personality that's in Iowa that has already recorded 8 episodes. And I was like, oh, let me listen to what you did, because I like to start from the beginning and, you know, the development and make sure that everything is going right. And I realized that jumping into some where somebody has already recorded 8 episodes is not going to be for me.
Right.
Because I'm going to have to like retrain them. And then there's probably going to be some friction. Like, well, we've always done it this way. Now you're trying to tell me to do it that way. But if you can get people from the beginning and they can just like, you know, like, all right, this is how we're all boats are going to rise together. So I didn't quite say I'm absolutely not doing this yet, but I did give some, hey, if we were to work together, this is how it was going to, you're going to have to do. And we're going to have to scrap pretty much all those episodes that you did because your mic wasn't turned on. And they recorded it in a busy restaurant. So I'm like,
this makes me feel so much better about our journey with you, because I always feel like we're like doing it wrong. And then I'm like, oh, that makes me feel so much better.
Yeah. Somebody else, or actually had a couple opportunities where people are coming to me now, just like, well, I don't want to start a podcast, but I just want to be a guest on podcasts. So it's kind of like, well, that's a different hat. That's more like a manager, agent sort of situation. Yeah. And do I really have time for that? And is that going to bring me closer to my ultimate goal, which is, you know, creating the content, being the ultimate source of audio content for women voices. No, probably not. Yeah, it's going to help other podcasters get content and other networks right. have women voices, but it's not going to help Jazzcast Pros do right. that. So I need to get us, you know, like say, put your life vests on first, put your mm-hmm. mask on first. So I feel like I'm still putting my mask on before I can go.
And it's so important to know your mission and then to stay true to it.
Right.
Because I think that knowing your mission is just one step, right? And it's that actively reminding yourself, does this line up? Does this line up?
Yes.
Does this line up?
Yeah, because these all become your babies.
Yeah.
And how do you, I mean, I'm not going to make you choose who's your
okay,
favorite.
Okay, so we know that Getting Real with Bossy is Jazzy's favorite podcast to produce.
Absolutely.
But you know, as you grow and you get like sponsorship opportunities, how are you going to be able, like, is that going to be difficult to decide? Like,
no, because it's back to the content of the show and the needs of the advertiser.
Right.
So if the advertiser needs to reach Black men, it doesn't make sense for me to put them on Getting Real with Bossy sure. when I have Found the Torch. So that's the great thing about strategically picking who I want to work with, because I secretly have silos and yeah. everybody has their own silo of things. And I don't want people competing. So not to say that we don't have four podcasts that deal with entrepreneurship, but you each deal with entrepreneurship from a different perspective.
Right.
You know, like with this show, it's more of an interview style show. You're not saying this is how you make a business plan.
Right.
But Heart of the Hustle is going to tell you this is how you mm-hmm. make a business plan. Whereas Beauty Boss Millionaire is going to tell you, all right, now that you've started your business, this is how you go about hiring and firing employees. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how you go about franchising into different states, because she has those experiences.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Beauty Boss Millionaire. I mean, mainly because you know how it's your first child.
Yeah.
So you have unique experiences with your first child that you enjoy the process with your other children, but it's never going to be the first time again.
No, right. The first one's always the hardest.
Yeah, it's always the hardest.
And then you have that like extra bit of connection because it was you only had one to deal with.
Right.
Right. It's very similar. Like now that you say it like that, I could totally see.
Yeah,
because my first business is my first child.
Yeah,
and the other ones are I deal with them, but not in the same way.
You guys mm-hmm. are the middle child. you're number four.
So we're just gonna roll with the flow.
Yeah,
we're not gonna cause you too many problems, and
we're just gonna see.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good to know we're the middle children.
Mm-hmm. Yep, number four. So let me just run it down. So we got Beauty Boss Millionaire, mm-hmm. Healthy Illness, Igniting Hope Radio, Getting Real with Bossy, and then Father Torch, Child Care Made Simple, and then High Vibe Table Talks.
I just listened to her first episode yesterday when I was working.
Yeah. Yes. She had a great guest on too, mm-hmm. Robbie, talking about creativity as an entity, as a partner. I never heard that concept before. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Even as a kid, so like I had an interesting childhood. It was just me and my mom, so I have no siblings, I have no father figure. And my mom's life trajectory is totally different than the one that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so even as a kid, I used to tell her, and she kind of used to get mad, I used to tell her that I raised myself. Because I'm like, well, you know, and obviously she raised me because she provided for me. And she, you know, kept me out of trouble for the most part. But all of the things that the goals and stuff I had to set for myself, there was nobody in my family that ever went to college before mm-hmm. or anything like that. There was nobody in my family that ever, to this day, has a business. And I've had three. So there's really no one to look at and say, okay, this is, you know, how you do these things. Like I was just talking to my husband the other day as far as like, you know, we both ended up going to Michigan State. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, my cousin had already went there. So, and then, like, my boy that was a year older than me. So by the time I got there, they were showing me the ropes. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know nobody. No, I just showed up and said, hey, I'm at college.
Right. Yeah, like, this is what I'm supposed to do next.
Right.
That's what they told me to do.
Right, right. Yeah. And I mean, I credit my high school counselor for helping me figure out how to apply to college and how to apply to financial aid and stuff like that. But I have to define myself as a boss because I've literally been leading every area of my life. And sometimes I kind of do wish that I had like an older sister or a cousin or somebody that says, hey, this is how we do these things a little bit easier. Or like just to say, like I interned at BET in Washington, D.C. in 2003. Hey, that rhymes. I'm Jazzy T, 2003 at BET in D.C. And I wish somebody would have said, like, cherish and nurture those relationships there. Because I literally just went in, did the internship, and left.
Right.
So I wish somebody would have, like, no, you need to, like, that could be a future job or whatever. All the stuff that I would tell people now to do, nobody told me. I just was like, and even that, going to D.C. for, it was called a work-study program through Michigan State. And so you would go to D.C., you would study through the curriculum, but then you'd have to like get your own internship. And so like literally me and the other girl, Heather, that I went down there with, we opened the floodgates for Michigan State students to come into BET. So after we left in 2003, like it was about a 10-year run. Every single semester, BET's interns would come from Michigan State because we literally wrote an intern book.
Of course you did.
Of course we did.
Of course you did.
Because not again.
We, I. Of course you did.
Oh, yeah, I did. I try to give her some credit, though. Anyway, so when you get dropped in BET, and again, it's like, what am I supposed to be doing all day? Like somebody's like, okay, well, ship these coffee cups that say BET on it to our sponsor as a thank you, right? So that was my job. Nobody told me to use bubble wrap. So, stuff like that. So they all arrived broke.
Yeah.
So in the intern
I
book.
I feel slightly worse about teasing my husband about having to Google the prescription earlier.
Oh, thanks. But I'm, you know, I'm 19, right. If that. You know, I've never shipped anything like that out before. Mm-hmm. So just stuff like that. Like, okay, well, if you're asked to ship something that's valuable, the bubble wrap is in the closet. Right. First of all. Print it out like this. You charge it to this account like that. Like, so all the stuff that I had to figure out, I'm like, an intern is going to be way more productive if they have the information in front of them rather than figuring it out and making the mistakes.
And not even knowing that they have to figure it out. I think that's
right. And so, like, as an intern, you're literally like an unpaid assistant to, you know, the producers and stuff there. So, I mean, if the more assisting you can be, the more useful and effective that you are, then everything else runs smoother. And I think at the end of the day, that's the goal, you know, to help make the best products that we can. So,
You've been figuring out the needs of the people for a very long time and acting on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you have your own conglomerate.
Yeah. That's the coolest thing about it, is to be able to like take everything that I've learned and everything that, you know, it's funny, the running joke in the media industry is communication companies have the worst communication policies. Like, they're the worst.
Right.
The worst, like, internally. Like, nobody knows what's going on. Everybody just has to figure it out and put on a smile and act like we got it all. But nobody knows what's going
on. I think that's for the world, though. I think that you always think that everyone's got it. And I think COVID did teach us that. Like, I told my employees, I was like, just so you know, I know the same things that Jeff Bezos knows, which is nothing. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, we're all in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody knows. But I think that's the thing, right? Like, we're all just people and we all think we have our shit figured out. But nobody really does. We're all just figuring it out as we go because the world is constantly changing. Turning on that, I do want to make sure that we drop your third business because you haven't mentioned that yet. And so we should plug it.
Sure. Yeah. Hustle for Health Programs. It is a overall wellness program aimed at people that don't think they have the time to go to the gym or they don't have the money to go to the gym, but they know they need to do something. So we created it in Buffalo in 2014. So this is the second business my husband and I put together, and we launched it at Juneteenth. We have an exclusive partnership with DJ Maestro. So he creates the music for the line dances. So the core of it is line dance fitness. So it's a fun way to get your cardio in. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And so he's a producer and a DJ. And so just like you might have heard of like Cupid Shuffle, where they tell you what to do in the dance. So he has three CDs. So we have like so many different routines. We just go into community centers, churches, after school programs. We've done Girl Scouts. We can go into anywhere. And we have programs to fit people from 8 years old to 80 years old. What I didn't see coming, what I thought it was going to be, is for working mothers, but no, the seniors, like the age 65 and older, is the biggest draw every time. Every time. Even we just had one at East High, and I was like, okay, we're going to try to go. I call it millennials and me. So that way I was trying to attract the millennials.
Okay.
Which I think, are you a millennial too?
I'm a millennial. I'm not.
Oh, you're just on there. Yeah. So I'm considered a millennial. So I'm 41 and I'm considered a millennial. So my goal was to try to get, because it was on Saturday mornings, and it still ended up being on average 55 years old. They just love it. And so it's awesome for us to give seniors that camaraderie every week. And it gives them a sense of somebody's checking for me too. Cause they'd be like, hey, where is, you know, where's Roseanne at? Like, I didn't see her, you know, and older people need that, you know, because a lot of their friends are passing away, you know, their spouses might be passing away, their kids are doing other things. They're not checking up on them every time. So by us having twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays in Buffalo, that we're expecting to see Roseanne there. And if we don't see her, then we're, you know, calling, or one of the other seniors is going by the house to check on them and stuff like that. And so the way we've been able to structure the business part of it, we started off, and this is just the learning lesson, we started off, okay, $5 per class, right? So you'd get 15 people one time, 5 people another time, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, this is not working because I'm still renting the space and paying the instructor. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't do anything off $15. This is not happening. So we changed that to offering a program, 6, 12 weeks. You start off with 6 weeks as the pilot, see how that goes, and then add another 6 weeks. And then we end up usually getting a year, and you sell that program to the centers that need programming. Cause I found out that centers have got grants in order to, you know, engage with
like
the community
centers.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that you just tell them how much it costs. They give you the check.
Okay.
And then you just tell them, all right, well, we can take up to 30 people. Nice. And that works out way better. Mm-hmm. Because that way you already know that you're not renting space.
Yeah.
Because they've already got the space.
Yeah. Right.
They got people who are looking for stuff to do. They have the mailing list. They have all of that. So they're doing most of the promoting. You just get the instructor. You show up and you do what you say you're going to do. And that works out way better. So that's been going on since 2014. Like I said, there's twice a week at one particular center. That's the longest running center. Once a week at Delavan Grider. And then here in Rochester, we had East High School, again, started in the pandemic, ended up getting shut down. What was fun, though, and ended up attracting other people that didn't come originally, is we started having it outside. In the summer of 2020, we were at the tennis courts on Culver and I think it's University, right across from the McDonald's. And people would just stop in like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, there's people getting together during COVID. I'm with this. Like, hell yeah.
Anything.
Because we were outside and we had our 6 feet of space and all of that type of stuff. And people who wanted to wear masks could wear masks. I was not, I'm still not an advocate of wearing masks while you exercise. I just don't think that's very smart because you need to breathe and you need to have your oxygen level up and all of this other stuff. But we never had any incidents of getting, you know, nobody got COVID, nobody, you know. And we innovated a screening process. So on the website, you would have to pre-register. I mean, the people who would kind of stop by, I would say, yeah, come next week, register online. Like, we didn't just welcome them in, but they had to do their health screening. You know, are you feeling any symptoms and this and that and the third? And then that's it. Then they could come. So that was something that was very nice. So once we started getting back into the community centers, we already had this health screening in place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were able to just keep that part rolling. And it makes it much easier for email marketing and all that stuff, too, because, I mean, you guys have done events when you're having people write.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I can't read most of this stuff.
Nope.
Because either you have the, like my mom's style, half print, half cursive.
That's what I do.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that was a thing for like people born before the 80s. I don't know. I really think that's a thing.
Again, I'm right on the cusp.
Or you have, you know, people who, you know, like born with like a tablet and they all they do is type. So they don't really know how to write very well at all. So anyway, everything online, that's the way to go as far as registering stuff. Yeah.
And how many times do you get to do the electric slide in the class? Because it's been running through my head ever since you started talking about line dancing.
So I in this. The whole time that we've run the program, we've done the electric slide one time.
No!
And that was on June the 3rd at our line dance party. All right. At East High.
But maybe I'll join because I don't like the electric slide.
Really? Yeah. No. Are you a bigger fan of the Cupid Shuffle?
Well, yeah, because it tells me what to do. Yes. I need to know. I need step by step.
Yeah.
So I think the Cupid Shuffle was made for people that didn't like the electric slide.
Right. Probably. I don't want to be a follower. I don't want to look at the people in front of me. I want to hear it and then do it. And then I get in my own groove. And maybe be off, but it's doing the thing.
So that's the beauty of it. So we typically don't do songs that weren't made by DJ Maestro. And that's what kind of makes us special, too, is like we have our own stuff. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we had a line dance party, which was the last day at East High. So I threw in the electric slide. I threw in the wobble. I threw in like some of that other stuff that people are just familiar with.
Right.
We did the Stevie Wonder, like My Eyes Don't Cry No More. And we made a Soul Train line. It was my first time making a Soul Train line.
Do you have a video?
Yeah, actually, so Dr. Sean Nelms, who was the principal at East.
Love Sean.
Yeah. So he stopped in because he got us in there. And so he posted a video on his Facebook.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I've been trying to figure out how to rip it. So if anybody knows how to rip videos from Facebook, let me know.
I mean, you could probably just ask him for the video.
I was thinking that too.
I don't think he'd have a problem getting it to you.
But sometimes I don't want to wait for anybody. Like, you know, I just
Well, it's like in the moment. You're like, just give me the
video. I want
it.
Like, I was getting ready to take my phone and record the computer. That's where I was at. But yeah, right? She just ask him.
It's worth a try.
So how do we find all of your businesses?
All right. So number one, I would love for you to go to jazzcastpros.com. You can also search Jazzcast Pros in your favorite podcast player, whether that is Apple or Spotify or Pandora or TuneIn or iHeart or Spreaker or Good Pods. Just look for Jazzcast Pros and that's going to take you to our channels. Hustleforhealth.com is the Urban Line Dance Fitness. And we are going to be back in Rochester this fall in at Gloria Parks Community Center. So that's hustleforhealth.com. And you can listen to me on the radio, 103.9 WDKX, on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And definitely check out the Jazzy Drive at 5. That's our 5 p.m. mix show.
And that may be how the majority of the people in this area define you, but I don't think you need to worry about that because I think you're continuing to redefine who you are and what you're doing, and you will be known for whatever it is you want to be known for. I have no doubt.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that we get to be part of that ride.
And got in at the ground floor, number 4. We get to witness firsthand this growth of your new empire, and it's really exciting to be a part of.
Live it, love it, lime it with Selena's Mexican Restaurant at the Village Gate. Come for the food, stay for the fun. Become a part of Selena's family. Selena's offers daily specials, happy hour at the bar, and catering, plus dietary menus for celiac, vegan, and vegetarian guests. When you're on the west side, grab a quick bite at the new Selena's Taqueria Grease, 745 Maiden Lane in the Tops Plaza. Find out more at Salinas.com. Salenas.com.
Whew, that was a lot.
I love it.
Her story is so much more than I thought it was.
Yeah. And all I can think about is, and I've probably mentioned this in other interviews because I think it's very relatable for entrepreneurship in general, but The Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
How I read The Alchemist like once a year because I have to recenter myself and remind myself that everything I've done has led till now.
Right.
And I think that's a great example.
Uh-huh.
Like all the different production and media experience that Jazzy's had throughout her life and how it's just all kind of snowballed
mm-hmm.
into what she's doing now.
Right. And it's just going to continue to grow. And the things she's had to overcome and the nonsense. I just...
So are we going to find the clip of...
I need to find the clip. America's Next Weatherman. So if anybody can find that for us, I'm going to go into a deep dive on Google.
Right. Somebody's got to have it.
Right. I got to see it.
So we're going to find a clip of Jazzy as America's Next Weather Woman, weather person. And we're going to have to share it because that's amazing.
Right.
And I'm so excited. Her podcast has grown so quickly, her channel, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
And how far she's even grown since the first time we met her in this basement. And now she's going to be a household name soon.
Yes.
It's pretty incredible.
And now we're here in Denver and we're going to get all the tips and tricks to blow up our podcast. And Jazzy's going to help us. I'm so excited.
Me too. And I love that she's got podcasts for other Bossy members now too.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So you guys have been listening. So Mershon from High Vibe has Table Talks, High Vibe Table Talks on the podcast network.
And Rosa Marie has Child Care Made Simple. I haven't gotten to listen to that yet, so I'm really excited. Got some free time later, so.
And they're both amazing women. Yeah. And if you haven't heard their podcast, you can rewind in your episode list. And they're earlier on in our seasons. And... oh, we're so excited. And Jazzy is amazing. And I mean, we know that we're her favorite podcast
she produces.
Right. obviously.
Obviously. You think she's going to edit that part out?
No.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by her story. I'm fascinated by all of the different things that she's done. I'm fascinated to see how they all come full circle. I feel like through listening to that story that we're in the beginning of Jazzy's full circle.
Right.
This is... not the peak.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm so honored to be on that ride with her.
I know, right?
And I know that in a year from now, we could probably have her back and it'll be an entirely different story.
Definitely. This is only the beginning for Jazzy. So thank you to Jazzy for coming. Thank you to you for listening. Thank you to Jazzy for producing her own episode. Normally we thank Jazzy at this point for producing. Right.
I could see her like questioning or, you know, thinking before she'd say something like, you're like... editing yourself in the moment.
Right.
Genius.
Making her job easier.
Right.
You can find Jazzy at Jazzcast Pros. You can find her network on your favorite podcast channel, Jazzcast Pros. And you can be a client. So go to her website. And if you want to have your podcast, join ours in her amazing lineup.
Right. She'll even help you hone in your ideas and come up with that perfect idea.
And push you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. She gets the best out of you, and I think that's really amazing.
Well, and follow her, Jazz Cast Pros, but also follow us at Bossy Rock.
R-O-C.
Bossy R-O-C. You can join us at BossyRockROC.com. And we look forward to interviewing our next podcastee. And we can't wait to share it with you.
If you're a woman looking to grow your business, increase brand awareness, and reach a wider audience, Jazzcast Pros is here to help. Our podcast network is dedicated to helping women like you create your own podcast. With our expert team handling the technical aspects, you can focus on connecting with your audience. Get the support you need to start your podcast and take your business to the next level. Jazzcast Pros. That's the power of podcasting.
This is going to be part two, so here's a teaser. Redefining what the world sees you like ethnically, I think is like part of my bigger grand mission, because I'm not what I look like and I wasn't raised what I look like either. And so trying to figure the duality of being a mixed person that didn't have anybody to say I fit in over here is like humongous. And I don't know, maybe me and Iris can do it together.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. It is so fascinating though, because I feel like I hear that a lot from people that have mixed parents.
Yeah.
You know, and I worry about that with my one daughter.
Yeah.
Black is you know, I can only teach her so much.
Yeah, it's a thing. And then you go out into the world, and the world was like, no, you're Black, so that means you're this, 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 this. And I'm like, really? I don't even know nothing about that
stuff. Right, because that wasn't your experience.
Right. So.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I am.
Well, maybe that looking forward to that. Your podcast someday.
I would love that to be my podcast someday. And going back to, shout out to High Vibe Table Talks, episode 3 is out now. Terrorcitement, that's her favorite word. So you're so terrified about your goals, but you're also excited about it. So I'm very excited and passionate about that part, but I'm also terrified because I felt like a lot of times when I've tried to bring that up, like on Clubhouse or different like apps like that, it just gets kind of shut down. Like, oh, whatever, like you just Black because that's what we say. So I'm like, okay.
But that doesn't involve your perception of the world.
Right.
And how you've experienced
and
it.
And nobody from any ethnic group is exactly the stereotype about that ethnic group.
Or what somebody who may look like them decides they're supposed to be.
And so that's why I wish we could truly live in a colorblind world. Like, I really wish that that could be a thing, content of the character and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it's kind of gotten worse than, like, I feel like the 80s was getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like
you could even see it in old TV.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, like, it was actually inclusive.
Yeah.
And the characters on TV looked like all people, and they seemed to just be. Where now, I feel like then it went into, like, these super stereotypes, and the 90s got really bad.
Yeah.
And then the 2000s, and yeah, so I feel like, and now we're, like, trying to, like, extra push. I don't know, it's so weird, because I watch old TV, and I'm like, wow, this is so different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many TV shows, like, I've been rewatching, like, Sex and the City. There's so many episodes that could not even come out anymore at all. So, I don't know. I feel like people are a little bit too sensitive in that realm, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's a lot more for another time.
I love it. What a great teaser.
Thanks. I try. Try to make it easy on myself.
I do 100% because I do follow these things a lot because I am navigating it from a different perspective. I think that that is a voice that is not heard.
Yeah.
And I struggle with how to approach it. And I would pay money to listen to a show based on people's experiences with the world that have a different perspective in that genre of looking like more than one thing and how the world perceives you and like the expectations that you have to live up to from those perceptions.
When I went to the gas station on the way here, the teller was speaking to me in Spanish. Thank God I know Spanish. So I even get that. You know, people think I'm Dominican and stuff too, which is cool. You know, I don't mind, but it's just like, you know, just that people always throw out, oh, fitting in. And, you know, that's one thing I've never fit in. And I think I've thrived on that. I was a kid that would go to, I was always the new kid at school. 4 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, 4 high schools. Always moving. So I kind of thrived on not fitting in. I'm the new kid. That's why I fit in the new kids. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was any other new kid, they're like, yeah, me and the new kid. But yeah, that was pretty much it.
Well, I think that sounds like it could be your future, because I would argue that you're one of your superpowers, or the thing you're a fucking expert at, is getting your voice heard. I see that in your future for sure.
Yeah, it's terrifying and exciting at the same time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that we should end on terrifying and exciting.
Yeah. Yes, I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jazzy, so much for not only helping us produce our baby and our dream, but so many other people's. I get so excited every time I see a new person, especially because I keep knowing them. And I'm like, yeah, I know their voice is so important, and I'm so happy that they get to share it. So you are creating that. And thank you for all of that. But also thank you for joining. So you're like the first person we've interviewed that we're legitimately working with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Right? So, like, we've done things with people and we've interviewed them, but not like we have a business partnership and we got to interview as a business owner. So this was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And now you experienced what everybody else experiences when you're constantly listening to us.
I'll have my notes for you next time.
You're like, do this differently.
Right, do it differently next
not
time.
Not that I've seen it this way.
No, honestly, because I was going back and forth on, should I give you my notes beforehand or after? I'm like, I think I want to experience it first and then I'll tell you.
All right. Thank you. I'm terrified.
Well, I will email you a nasty email telling you to send your bio and headshot to Jazzy ASAP.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Remember to follow and subscribe at Jazzcast Pros and Jazzy T, Hustle for Health, all the amazing things. Yeah, and then we'll see you.
And make sure you follow at Bossy Rock.
Yes, follow at Bossy Rock.
Live it, love it, lime it with Selena's Mexican Restaurant at the Village Gate. Come for the food, stay for the fun. Become a part of Selena's family. Selena's offers daily specials, happy hour at the bar, and catering, plus dietary menus for celiac, vegan, and vegetarian guests. Find out more at selenas.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-S.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bush, and I own Marshall Street Bar and Grill. Whether you're out celebrating with friends or looking for a catered event, Marshall Street is your number one choice. With board games, pool, darts, pinball, and 3 large screen projectors, you'll never run out of things to do. Check out our huge menu with over 60 items, including vegan and vegetarian food, 18 taps, unique spirits, and great daily specials. We've got something for everyone. Come see old friends or make new ones at Marshall Street Bar and Grill. You always have a home at Marshall Street.